Land is rated R. The Rocky Horror Picture Show is also rated R. We're going to spend this time discussing the movie in gory detail, and along the road, we will talk about some adult content and use some of our favorite swear words.
Me mem was a crack whore, Anastasia.
Consider yourselves warned.
Welcome to Rocky Horror Minute, the podcast where we discuss the Rocky Horror Picture Show in excruciating detail, 1 minute at a time. I'm one of your hosts, Kelly.
And I'm the other one, Leandra.
That's right, and today we have a very exciting 77th minute for you.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Leandra?
Oh, you're asking me about minute 77.
Yes, yes. What happens in minute 77?
Oh, that's a good question. So we begin with the criminologist continuing his speech from the previous minute. He says, they to be subjected to. And what of the floor show that had been spoken of? In an empty house, in the middle of the night, what diabolical plan had seized Frank's crazed imagination? He pauses to raise both eyebrows and sit back, continuing with, what indeed? From what had gone before, it was clear that this was to be, and then he pauses, no picnic. And then Achy Breaky Heart plays. Well, the vamp music sounds like it.
It does. What does that sound like, Leandra?
Don't tell my heart, my achy breaky heart.
I did mean the instrumental, but that'll work.
Sorry, I'm the dumb one this time. Anyway, we're transported back to the ballroom of the castle, only this time, instead of a bunch of weirdos doing the time warp, it is set up with, looks like beach chairs facing a stage. After a few seconds, the scene changes to backstage, where Frank is seen pushing a shopping cart from one side of the stage to another, occasionally fussing with the statues that have magically been transported there. Frank moves Brad's boa into place, sticks his tongue out at Janet, fixes some makeup on Rocky, and then throws his hands up at Dr. Scott's statue, non-verbally declaring him a lost cause, I guess. He flips some switches arbitrarily. The lights on stage turn on, and the curtain rolls away to reveal the decked-out statues, and then he flips a switch backstage labeled D. Medusa. And that's how the minute ends. I wonder what the D. Medusa does.
Yeah, I wrote that I really like that they had to label that in chalk as though it was something they were accidentally flipping all the time, and they had to, like, put a note, like, no, that's the D. Medusa.
It's really great because it also kind of looks like a Tex Avery sort of, like, Looney Tune,
Acme thing.
It's like there's an arrow and it's written in all caps, like, don't touch here, a wink.
Yeah. In general, I really love Frank in this minute because he is giving community theater director who's incredibly stressed on opening night, even though absolutely no one else on earth cares about the production.
Yeah, everybody else is phoning it in. They're literally statues.
Yeah.
Going back a little bit, though, it wasn't until I was watching this minute again today that I realized that Krim refers to Frank as Frank and not Frankenfurter. Yeah, I always kind of thought, like, oh, what if the Rocky community, the listeners, go, they should really just be calling him Frankenfurter because nobody refers to him as Frank in the movie, but that's not true.
Yeah, it never would have even occurred to me that people would have an issue with that. I mean, Frank is his first name. It's not like it's Franken or something. So
I thought that was all his last name. It's Dr. Frankenfurter.
No. It's spelled out in the movie as Frank N. Furter.
Yeah, but I thought the dashes meant that it was one sentence or one statement, like A Tribe Called Quest.
No. It's done, like, with a period, and the one Transylvanian says, pleasure to meet you, Dr. Furter.
No, I guess you're right. Yeah. Okay. So, I have just so much love for the ballroom. I know that we talked so much about it back when Time Warp was happening and back when Sweet Tea was a thing, but this is just a gorgeous room, and in this scene you can see that the griffin statue's eyes glow. It's emerald green for no reason. Why would they do this? Why would they have a plug-in griffin statue that has light-up eyes?
Because it's awesome?
I mean, fair.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's very 70s, because I was about to say it's something from, like, it. To me, it's very, like, dude with fantasy characters airbrushed on his van.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's fair. So, other things that I just noted again about the ballroom, all of the audience chairs are red and white striped beach chairs. They look incredibly unpractical, extremely difficult to get out of. If I were in that audience, I'd need somebody to like help me back up, because they're the type that kind of recline. I love that, spoiler alert, you will see an audience at some point, and none of those people you see having any sort of difficulty with that.
I mean, we don't see them standing up, to be fair. That... Oh, wait, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a different time. Chairs fucking sucked back then. Trust me, my favorite theater was built in 1901, and God, I fucking hate the seats in that theater, even though, in general, the theater's awesome, but yeah.
I know that I am of a size, but I've noticed that, at the very least, seats were narrower back
then.
Yeah,
they had not invented fat asses like me at the time.
Although there was this picture that Kelly took.
We went on
an impromptu trip to see the eclipse, and Kelly took this picture of me where I swear I look like a Pixar mom.
Yeah, no, I said she looks like a DeviantArt edit of Leandra for like an inflation porn DeviantArt page.
My thighs are just gigantic.
I'll have to post it on the social media. I mean, you do be looking kind of thick, though.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that and just started laughing.
Yeah, it's honestly kind of awesome, but yeah, it was a weird angle, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are seats that I would just have to live in, though.
Yeah.
You also see, when the stage lights come on, there's a little bit of bleed, so you can see the ceiling that's covered in clouds. I know we spoke about this ad nauseum back in the minutes for Time Warp and Sweet Tea, Sweet Transvestite, but this room is a beauty. It really is.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Once again, shout out to Brian Thompson.
Yeah, and backstage is great too. You see a dartboard absolutely just covered in cobwebs next to the, I guess, light switch board. And that board has the Transylvanian emblem, the lightning bolt. It is so strange. And then in the extended cut of the scene, which, Kelly, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's super...
I haven't, yeah.
It's Frank finishes playing with the light switches and then goes to sit at a vanity backstage and uses face tissues, like Kleenexes, to remove the ungodly amounts of, like, cold cream from his face while making faces at himself in the mirror. It's just very much now that I've done everything that I have to do, I guess now I'll put my face on.
Oh my God, that's so relatable. Funny story, I recently, well, at our last Halloween show, I played Frank up until the floor show, and then I swapped with a different member of the cast who then took over to do the floor show. Shout out, Allie, if you're listening. Because I was not playing floor show Frank, I was like, oh my God, I can do Samurai Frank, which is what traditionally that little bit is called. We'll get into that later, but I was like, oh, I can do that, since I won't be being Frank in a moment after that scene. So I was like, great. And I put on the little robe and stuff, and I had this last minute epiphany at the theater. I was like, oh, I can put a bunch of white shit on my face for that.
Can you though?
Yeah, well, so I did, but I realized two things. One, my back was to the audience the entire time, so I did that for nothing. And I then had that on my face, and I had to do bows and take photos in front of like 1,000 people I just had to like hastily wipe it off my face as best I could, but I didn't have makeup on anymore after that, so relatable.
Yeah.
Patricia Quinn had a lot to say about the... Well, both of them, both Richard O'Brien and Patricia Quinn, had a lot to say about the cold cream.
Oh, do tell.
Richard O'Brien said the goo that Tim put on his face, it was a good move. And then Patricia said, it was brilliant, and I didn't know what it was. And I was like, you didn't? And she went on and on about how... Well, and then I think what she meant was... He came out dressed like that, and they didn't know that part was gonna be in the movie, or she didn't, at least. And she was like, why are you dressed like that, and why do you have cold cream on your face? And then when she saw, like, what he was doing, she was like, oh, I love that. That's such a fun little moment to add, you know? And apparently it was a whole scene. They didn't even... She was not anticipating it, at least. So that was kind of cool. She went on and on. And then, like, Richard O'Brien was like... Yeah, but you knew actresses who used to do that, and she was basically like, did I? No. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that sort of thing. It happens a lot on the director, or not the director's commentary, but the commentary. So they went on, and I do, the cold cream is amazing. What about, the pink headband thing?
Let's just take a moment to talk about what Frankenfurter is doing in this.
Yeah.
He's got the cold cream on his face, and he's got yellow and blue curlers in his hair, and the pink sheer wrap pulling most of his hair up and into a bun, and it's further gathered together using a chopstick. And I don't know that the pink is really the thing keeping everything up in a bun. It was very clear that it was like... And yeah, we're gonna put this on. It has no functional use other than completing that kind of tableau of getting ready face.
Yeah. And in the universe of the movie, it seems just so like counterproductive for what Frank's trying to achieve, which is like keeping shit out of his face while it's got cold cream on it, because the pink thing is just like down all up in it and in his eyes and everything.
But maybe it has it serves the purpose of matching the pink dish gloves that he's wearing, because otherwise the rest of what he's wearing is that black satin kimono robe with red lining and a red and gold dragon on the back, and he's got like plugs in his ears, I think maybe to keep the water out. But none of this really ties in with the pink dish gloves, so maybe this last-minute addition was to make the entire ensemble make sense. Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
It's as likely as anything.
Sue, you're to blame.
You're to blame.
Hey, Kelly.
Mm-hmm?
Ask me what's in the cart.
What's in the cart?
What's in the cart? Yeah. I'll tell you what's in the cart.
Yeah. You can't handle the cart!
We're smart.
Yep.
Smart rhymes with cart. The cart itself is a small by today's standards, but I'd say normal size by like 60s and 70s standards shopping cart. I don't see any advertising present, so it's not like they definitely stole it from a Piggly Wiggly, but maybe. Otherwise, it's just kind of a basic metal cart. Inside is the Empire State Building plastic bag we saw in Columbia's bedroom. There's also a red, white, and blue striped tote behind it. There's a clear umbrella, a bluish teal... I think that it's a folded down paper gift bag. It has some sort of design on the front, but I couldn't for the life of me figure out what it is. And then... there's another umbrella, this time in like a 70s floral printed psychedelic sort of thing. And then in the bottom, there's what I think is like maybe cotton balls or something. He's also holding what looks like a bag of additional curlers. There's no reason for all of this to have happened, but it did, and I love it. There's also just so much fucking haze in the backstage area. So as I was looking at the movie, trying to like figure out what things were, the haze just kept getting in the way. There's some good pictures, though.
It's another, like, great attention to detail moment.
And, as usual, we have one person and one person alone to thank for that.
Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson. Yay.
I love you, Brian Thompson.
We do. You're alive.
You are alive.
Yeah. As of 2024.
Leandra threatens the life of Brian Thompson on air.
No.
No, we would
maybe.
Never.
No.
No.
Well.
No.
No, that's Perry Bedden's job.
True. I have just one more thing, and it's not related to the movie at all, except it is what Patricia Quinn started talking about during this minute in the commentary, but I just thought it was kind of cute and interesting. But she got somewhat off topic and started talking about Ava Gardner, and apparently Ava Gardner is the whole reason she became a movie star, so there's a little unrelated Patricia Quinn fact for the day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of reasons that one would decide to be an actor, and maybe it's that you like being the center of attention, but...
Well, but that doesn't apply here, so...
No.
Yeah, I mean, after that came a strange discussion where she said that's why the whole reason I wanted to become an actress, and Richard O'Brien said an actor even, and then Patricia Quinn like went off saying she would never want to be called an actor because Dorothy Parker said scratch an actor and you find an actress, and like actresses are so much better than actors. Richard O'Brien was kind of like, okay.
He dissociated live.
Yeah, pretty much. He was like, all right, yeah, yes, honey. But, so there you go. Don't call her an actor. And she loves Ava Gardner. Those are your Patricia Quinn tidbits for this minute.
Yeah. And those are important things to know.
Yeah.
So, callbacks. What do you have for me?
All right. When Krim is about to say, in an empty house, you say, where do you masturbate? And then it's, when do you masturbate? And he says, in the middle of the night.
You can add, rates are cheaper then.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that. There's something about a diabolical chicken that I never remember, so I'm gonna kick that over to Leandra.
Yeah, so this one is kind of fun because it makes fun of Charles Gray and his very, very distinguished face. Yeah. You say, what diabolical chicken stepped on your forehead, fucked your chin, ate your neck, and shat all over your cravat?
Yeah.
And the stepped on your forehead, I think, is the one that makes it make some amount of sense. Yeah, because he's got like the wrinkles between his eyebrows that look kind of like a chicken footprint.
I've also heard pecked out your chin.
Okay.
So, also makes sense. But yeah, a very, very classic one that I've heard all of my Rocky Horror going days, but that I can never remember. And then another classic when he's getting ready to, when he's saying what's going to happen, people start chanting, is it going to be an orgy or a picnic? Is it going to be an orgy or a picnic? And then he says, it's going to be no picnic. Everybody cheers. And then the last thing is Samurai Frank, which is of questionable taste. Right? Would we agree with that? I don't know. What do you think?
I have a lot of thoughts about that specific one.
So first of all, it's basically, because I didn't say what it is yet, basically when Frank comes out dressed in that fashion, many people will yell like Samurai Frank because of the way he's dressed.
The full thing is Samurai Frank, Samurai Beautician, when he kind of fixes the makeup on Rocky's statue. And then Samurai Electrician. I didn't understand why people said this. Did you?
Except for the fact that he has his hair done like that. Not really. Is there more to it than that?
Yes.
Okay.
I went on quite a journey trying to find this out on my own, and I couldn't. So then I called my dad,
Okay.
and I was like, "Why is it funny when people say Samurai Frank, Samurai Beautician, Samurai Electrician?" And he was like, "John Belushi played this samurai, a recurring character on SNL, where he racistly did things the samurai way."
Okay, so I'm
And
gonna
it was
say
like Samurai
yeah.
Hotel, Samurai Laundromat. And I was like, oh, I hate that. And he's like, you should watch it. You'll hate it a lot. And I did. A
Did
lot.
you hate it? Okay.
I hated it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so when you watched it a lot or you hated it a lot?
I hated it a lot. I
Yeah.
watched it a little.
I can imagine hating that a lot. That's really somewhat unfortunate. So yeah, I guess the callback is of questionable taste. The source is of not questionable at all, just bad taste.
Why are
But
there so many things that reference SNL skits that are not things that you should reference anymore?
I mean, I think SNL, I mean, SNL skits really had a different cultural impact back then than they have today.
It's true.
I mean, think about how many movies were made just on the basis of SNL characters. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And
And
some of them were good. Wayne's World is good.
yeah, I really liked Wayne's World. I'm really happy that SNL was a thing because there were a lot of things that came of it that had that huge cultural impact. They don't really have that as much anymore, but occasionally they do things that just delight me, like the year after the pandemic ended, they had this song for Pride Month where everybody was going to be even worse because they weren't able to hang out and do gay stuff the year before. And
They still have some good sketches here and there. I really my favorite of recent years is definitely the like the Fisher Price Well for Sensitive Boys.
I thought you were going to talk about the step parent doll.
Oh yeah. See, no, they're good. I mean, I've always been of the opinion. So some people will argue Saturday Night Live has not gone down in quality at all. That's a mix of like nostalgia and the fact that we obviously only remember the really good sketches, and they were making a lot of sketches every single week, and they were not all winners, just like today they're not all winners. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do think there's some amount of that. Like, it's not all bad, and it was not all good during whatever your favorite era of SNL was, but you know.
That's
There was
fair.
a level of brilliance to certain times in SNL's history that I do not think they've been able to recapture anytime recently, but it can still be enjoyable.
Yeah. But Samurai Frank,
No, not
I honestly, here,
that.
I'm going to, I'm just going to say John Belushi, whether you like him or not, I think one can agree with the statement that most of the stuff that he did is not stuff that is terribly politically correct, is I think a sensitive way to put that.
Yeah, I would say that most of his work has not aged super well.
Yeah.
We would agree with
Apologies
that.
to the many, many people who listen to this and probably do really like John Belushi.
I don't dislike John Belushi. Some of the movies that he's in, at least, are classics.
Yeah.
You know, I personally never got that into Animal House, but there's some that are great.
What about Blues Brothers?
Oh, I love Blues Brothers.
Yeah, so
Love
we're
it.
good.
Grew up on it. Absolutely love that movie. Either way, that callback is how that moment is referenced pretty exclusively across the board in my experience. Like if it, there have sometimes a Rocky cast will cast somebody to do that. Obviously, it's somebody other than Frank, usually, just like a little extra moment. And, like, just in general, if anybody's talking about that scene, they call it Samurai Frank, for
Yeah.
better or for worse.
I think that having somebody do that scene is very fun.
Yes, I agree. I just would not recommend doing any white shit on your face, because again, the audience won't see it, and then you have to get it off your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple more callbacks. Did you have anything else?
Nope, that was my last one.
Okay. So, the first one that we start this minute with is, what further indignities are we to be subjected to, whatever the line is. I know that I just said it, but... Yeah, no, I got that right. Yeah. The answer to that is shock treatment.
Oh, yeah.
Or to even sing, you need a bit of shock treatment.
Yeah, and audience, that's what you're about to be subjected to as well.
Yeah.
That's your next indignity, and ours.
It's true.
Yeah.
And then, if you don't want to say, are we going to have an orgy or a picnic? Are we going to have an orgy or a picnic? You can say, oh, hey, can we have a picnic? And then when he says no picnic, you go, aw. Which I think is funnier.
I feel like I'm vaguely remembering one about ants regarding the picnic, too.
Yeah, I often will go, are we going to have an orgy or a picnic? I brought ants, so we're good either way.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Why would you bring ants to an orgy? Who knows?
But
it's fun.
I can fill you in later.
Ants. Duh. Duh. So, I'm not sure if you can hear that, but that's Boba.
Yeah, I did. We picked up Boba.
Hey, yeah, Boba has recently decided that she's not afraid of everything. She is, in fact, just constantly needing attention. Okay, chill the fuck out. Calm down. Okay, fine, I'll pet you. But, as mentioned before, you can sing Achy Breaky Heart to the kind of vamp music that they have before Rose Tints My World starts, and it works pretty well. Yeah. And then, when you first see Frank, you can say, this is what happens when you don't swallow or duck. And then when he's playing with the Brad statue and like putting the boa over, you can say, how does Sue Blaine make it look so easy?
That's cute.
Yeah. But those are all of my notes.
All right.
Well, so I guess that means that Boba is going to help us with our outro with now. Yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So get the fuck out. Yeah, Boba.
To the late night double feature.